The book was instantly gone, his movement so slick as he tore it from me and tucked it into his own jacket that I barely registered it had happened. But the moment that medal left my hands, Mother above, what had happened? I'd failed. Failed so completely, been so pathetically overwhelmed by it.
"You look good, Jurian," Rhys said, strolling to Cassian's side, casually positioning himself between me and the ancient warrior.
"For a corpse."
"Last time I saw you," Jurian sneered, "you were warming Amarantha's sheets."
"So you remember," Rhysand mused, even as my rage flared. "Interesting."
Jurian's eyes sliced to Moor.
"Where's Miriam?"
"She's dead," Moor said flatly. The lie that had been told for 500 years. "She and Draken drowned in the Erythrian Sea."
The impassive face of the Princess of Nightmares.
"Liar," Jurian crooned. "You were always such a liar, Morrigan."
Azrael growled, the sound unlike any I'd heard from him before. Jurian ignored him, chest starting to heave.
"Where did you take Miriam?"
"Away from you," Moor breathed. "I took her to Prince Draken. They were mated and married that night you slaughtered Clithia, and she never thought of you again."
Wrath twisted his tan face. Jurian, hero of the human legions, who along the way had turned himself into a monster as awful as those he'd fought. Rhys reached back to grab my hand. We'd seen enough. I gripped the rim of the cauldron again, willing it to obey, to come with us. I braced for the wind and darkness. Only they didn't come. Moor gripped Cassian and Azrael's hands and stayed still. Jurian smiled. Rhysand drawled, hand tightening in mine.
"New trick?"
Jurian shrugged.
"I was sent to distract you, while he worked his spell."
His smile turned lupine.
"You won't leave this castle unless he allows you to, or in pieces."
My blood ran cold. Cassian and Azrael crouched into fighting stances, but Rhys cocked his head.
I felt his dark power rise and rise, as if he'd splatter Jurian then and there. But nothing happened. Not even a brush of night-flecked wind.
"Then there's that," Jurian said. "Didn't you remember? Perhaps you forgot. It's a good thing I was there, awake for every moment, Rhysand. She stole his book of spells to take your powers."
Inside me, like a key clicking in a lock, that molten core of power just halted. Whatever tether to it between my mind and soul was snipped. No, squeezed so tight by some invisible hand that nothing could flow. I reached for Rhys's mind, for the bond.
I slammed into a hard wall, not of adamant, but of foreign, unfeeling stone.
"He made sure,"
Jurian went on as I banged against that internal wall, trying to summon my own gifts to no avail.
"That particular book was returned to him. She didn't know how to use half of the nastier spells. Do you know what it is like to be unable to sleep, to drink, or eat, or breathe, or feel for 500 years? Do you understand what it is like to be constantly awake, forced to watch everything she did?"
It had made him insane. Tortured his soul until he went insane. That's what the sharp gleam was in his eyes.
"It couldn't have been so bad," Rhys said, even as I knew he was unleashing every ounce of will on that spell that contained us, bound us.
"If you're now working for her master."
A flash of 2 white teeth.
"Your suffering will be long and thorough."
"Sounds delightful," Rhys said, now turning us from the room.
a silent shout to run.
But someone appeared atop the stairs. I knew him, in my bones.
The shoulder-length black hair, the ruddy skin, the clothes that edged more toward practicality than finery. He was of surprisingly average height, but muscled like a young man. But his face, which looked perhaps like a human man in his 40s, blandly handsome, to hide the depthless, hateful black eyes that burned there.
The King of Highburn said,
"The trap was so easy. I'm honestly a bit disappointed you didn't see it coming."
Faster than any of us could see, Jurian fired a hidden ash bolt through Azrael's chest. Moore screamed.
We had no choice but to go with the king. The ash bolt was coated in bloodbane that the King of Highburn claimed flowed where he willed it. If we fought, if we did not come with him upstairs, the poison would shoot to his heart. And with our magic locked down, without the ability to winnow. If I could somehow get to Azrael, give him a mouthful of my blood. But it'd take too long, require too many moving parts.
Cassian and Rhys hauled Azrael between them, his blood splattering on the floor behind us as we went up the twisting stairways of the king's castle. I tried not to step in it as Moore and I followed behind, Jurian at our backs. Moore was shaking, trying hard not to, but shaking as she stared at the protruding end of that arrow, visible between the gap in Azrael's wings. None of us dared strike the King of Highburn where he stalked ahead, leading the way. He'd taken the cauldron with him, vanishing it with a snap of his fingers and a wry look at me. We knew the king wasn't bluffing. It'd take one move on their part for Azrael to die. The guards were out now, and courtiers. High fae and creatures, I didn't know where they fit in, who smiled like we were their next meal. Their eyes were all dead, empty. No furniture, no art, as if this castle were the skeleton of some mighty creature. The throne room doors were open, and I balked. A throne room. The throne room that had honed Amarantha's penchant for public displays of cruelty. Phaelite slithered along the bone-white walls, the windows looking out to the crashing sea far below. The king mounted a dais carved of a single block of dark emerald, his throne assembled from the bones of... I felt the blood drain from my face. Human bones, brown and smooth with age. We stopped before it, Jurian leering at our backs. The throne room doors shut. The king said to no one in particular, "Now that I've upheld my end of the bargain, I expect you to uphold yours." From the shadows near a side door, two figures emerged. I began shaking my head as if I could unsee it, as Lucien and Tamlin stepped into the light. Chapter 64 Rhysand went still as death. Cassian snarled. Hanging between them, Azrael tried and failed to lift his head. But I was staring at Tamlin, at that face I had loved and hated so deeply, as he halted a good 20 feet away from us. He wore his bandolier of knives, Illyrian hunting blades, I realized. His golden hair was cut shorter, his face more gaunt than I'd last seen it. And his green eyes, wide as they scanned me from head to toe, wide as they took in my fighting leathers, the Illyrian sword and knives, the way I stood within my group of friends, my family. He'd been working with the King of Highburn. "No," I breathed. But Tamlin dared one more step closer, staring at me as if I were a ghost. Lucian, metal eye whirring, stopped him with a hand on his shoulder.
No, I said again, this time louder.
What was the cost? Rhysand said softly from my side.
I clawed and tore at the wall separating our minds, heaved and pulled against that fist stifling my magic. Tamlin ignored him, looking at the king at last.
You have my word.
The king smiled. I took a step toward Tamlin.
What have you done?
The king of Highburn said from his throne,
We made a bargain. I give you over, and he agrees to let my forces enter Prithian through his territory, and then use it as a base as we remove that ridiculous wall.
I shook my head.
Lucian refused to meet the pleading stare I threw his way.
You're insane, Cassian hissed.
Tamlin held out a hand.
Feyre. An order, like I was no better than a summoned dog. I made no movement. I had to get free, had to get that damn power free. You, the king said, pointing a thick finger at me, are a very difficult female to get a hold of. Of course, we've also agreed that you'll work for me once you've been returned home to your husband, but is it husband-to-be or husband? I can't remember.
Lucian glanced between us all, face paling.
Tamlin, he murmured. But Tamlin didn't lower the hand stretched toward me. I'm taking you home.
I backed up a step, toward where Rhysand still held Asriel with Cassian.
There's that other bit, too, the other thing I wanted, the king went on. Well, Jurian wanted. Two birds, one stone, really. The High Lord of Night, dead. And to learn who his friends were. It drove Jurian quite mad, honestly, that you never revealed it during those 50 years. So now you know, Jurian, and now you can do what you please with them.
Around me my friends were tense, taut. Even Asriel was subtly moving a bloody, scarred hand closer to his blades, his blood pooled at the edge of my boots. I said steadily, clearly to Tamlin, I'm not going anywhere with you.
You'll say different, my dear, the king countered, when I complete the final part of my bargain.
Horror coiled in my gut. The king jerked his chin at my left arm.
Break that bond between you two.
Please, I whispered.
How else is Tamlin to have his bride? He can't very well have a wife who runs off to another male once a month.
Rhys remained silent, though his grip tightened on Asriel, observing, weighing, sorting through the lock on his power. The thought of that silence between our souls being permanent.
My voice cracked as I said to Tamlin, still at the opposite end of the crude half-circle we'd formed before the dais.
Don't let him. I told you that I was fine. That I left.
You weren't well, Tamlin snarled. He used that bond to manipulate you. Why do you think I was gone so often? I was looking for a way to get you free, and you left.
I left because I was going to die in that house.
The king of Highburn clicked his tongue.
Not what you expected, is it?
Tamlin growled at him, but again held out his hand toward me.
Come home with me, now.
No.
Feyre.
An unflinching command.
Rhys was barely breathing, barely moving. And I realized it was to keep his scent from becoming apparent, our scent, our mating bond.
Jurian's sword was already out, and he was looking at Mor as if he was going to kill her first. Asriel's blood-drained face twisted with rage as he noticed that stare. Cassian, still holding him upright, took them all in, assessing, readying himself to fight, to defend. I stopped beating at the fist on my power, stroked it gently, lovingly. I am Fae and not Fae, all and none, I told the spell that gripped me. You do not hold me. I am as you are, real and not, little more than gathered wisps of power. You do not hold me. I'll come with you, I said softly to Tamlin, to Lucian, shifting on his feet. If you leave them alone, let them go. You do not hold me. Tamlin's face contorted with wrath. They're monsters, there. He didn't finish as he stalked across the floor to grab me, to drag me out of here, then no doubt winnow away. You do not hold me. The fist gripping my power relaxed, vanished. Tamlin lunged for me over the few feet that remained, so fast, too fast. I became mist and shadow. I winnowed beyond his reach. The king let out a low laugh as Tamlin stumbled, and went sprawling as Rhysand's fist connected with his face. Panting, I retreated right into Rhysand's arms as one looped around my waist, as Azrael's blood on him soaked into my back. Behind us, Moore leaped in to fill the space Rhys had vacated, slinging Azrael's arm over her shoulders. But that wall of hideous stone remained in my mind, and still it blocked Rhys's own power. Tamlin rose, wiping the blood now trickling from his nose as he backed to where Lucian held his position with a hand on his sword. But just as Tamlin neared his emissary, he staggered a step. His face went white with rage. And I knew Tamlin understood a moment before the king laughed.
I don't believe it. Your bride left you only to find her mate. The mother has a warped sense of humor, it seems. And what a talent. Tell me, girl, how did you unravel that spell?
I ignored him, but the hatred in Tamlin's eyes made my knees buckle.
I'm sorry, I said, and meant it.
Tamlin's eyes were on Rhysand, his face near feral.
You?
He snarled, the sound more animal than Fae. What did you do to her? Behind us, the doors opened and soldiers poured in. Some looked like the Adder, some looked worse. More and more, filling up the room, the exits, armor and weapons clanking. Moore and Cassian, Azrael sagging and heavy-lidded between them, scanned each soldier and weapon, sizing up our best odds of escape. I left them to it as Rhys and I faced Tamlin.
I'm not going with you, I spat at Tamlin. And even if I did, you spineless, stupid fool for selling us out to him! Do you know what he wants to do with that cauldron?
Oh, I'm gonna do many, many things with it, the king said.
And the cauldron appeared again between us.
Starting now.
Kill him, kill him, kill him. I could not tell if the voice was mine or the cauldron's. I didn't care. I unleashed myself. Talons and wings and shadows were instantly around me, surrounded by water and fire. Then they vanished, stifled as that invisible hand gripped my power again so hard I gasped.
Ah, the king said to me, clicking his tongue. That. Look at you. A child of all seven courts, like and unlike all. How the cauldron purrs in your presence. Did you plan to use it? Destroy it? With that book, you could do anything you wished.
I didn't say anything. The king shrugged.
You'll tell me soon enough.
I made no bargain with you.
No, but your master did, so you will obey.
Molten rage poured into me. I hissed at Tamlin. If you bring me from here, if you take me from my mate, I will destroy you. I will destroy your court and everything you hold dear.
Tamlin's lips thinned, but he said simply, "You don't know what you're talking about."
Lucian cringed. The king jerked his chin to the guards by the side door through which Tamlin and Lucian had appeared.
"Nope, she doesn't."
The doors opened again.
"There will be no destroying," the king went on, as people, as women, walked through those doors.
Four women, four humans, the four remaining queens.
"Because," the king said,
the queen's guards falling into rank behind them, hauling something in the core of their information,
"you will find, Feyre Archeron, that it is in your best interest to behave."
The four queens sneered at us with hate in their eyes. Hate. And parted to let their personal guards through. Fear like I had never known entered my heart as the men dragged my sisters, gagged and bound, before the King of Highburn.
Chapter 65.
This was some new hell, some new level of nightmare. I even went so far as to try to wake myself up. But there they were, in their nightgowns, the silk and lace dirty, torn. Elaine was quietly sobbing, the gag soaked with her tears. Nesta, hair disheveled as if she'd fought like a wildcat, was panting as she took us in, took in the cauldron.
"You made a very big mistake," the king said to Rhysand, my mate's arms banded around me. "The day you went after the book?"
"I had no need of it. I was content to let it lie hidden. But the moment your forces started sniffing around, I decided, who better than to be my liaison to the human realm than my newly reborn friend Jurian? He'd just finished all those months of recovering from the process and longed to see what his former home had become, so he was more than happy to visit the continent for an extended visit."
Indeed, the queens smiled at him, bowed their heads. Rhys's arms tightened in silent warning.
"The brave, cunning Jurian, who suffered so badly at the end of the war, now my ally. Here to help me convince these queens to aid in my cause. For a price of his own, of course, but it has no bearing here. And wiser to work with me, my men, than to allow you monsters in the Night Court to rule and attack. Jurian was right to warn their majesties that you'd try to take the book. That you would feed them lies of love and goodness when he had seen what the High Lord of the Night Court was capable of. The hero of the human forces, reborn as a gesture to the human world of my good faith. I do not wish to invade the continent, but to work with them. My powers ensconced their courts from prying eyes, just to show them the benefits." A smirk at Azrael, who could hardly lift his head to snarl back. "Such impressive attempts to infiltrate their sacred palace, Shadow Singer. And utter proof to their majesties, of course, that your court is not as benevolent as you seem."
"Liar," I hissed, and whirled on the queens, daring only a step away from Rhys.
"They are liars, and if you do not let my sisters go, I will slaughter. Do you hear the threats, the language they use in the Night Court?"
the king said to the mortal queens, their guards now around us in a half circle.
"Slaughter, ultimatums. They wish to end life. I desire to give it."
The eldest queen said to him, refusing to acknowledge me, my words,
"Then show us. Prove this gift you mentioned."
Rhysand tugged me back against him. He said quietly to the queen, "You're a fool." The king cut in.
"Is she? Why submit to old age and ailments when what I offer is so much better?"
He waved a hand toward me.
"Eternal youth, do you deny the benefits? A mortal queen becomes one who might reign forever. Of course, there are risks. The transition can be difficult. But a strong-willed individual could survive."
The youngest queen, the dark-haired one, smiled slightly. "Arrogant youth and bitter old age." Only the two others, the ones who wore white and black, seemed to hesitate, stepping closer to each other and their towering guards. The ancient queen lifted her chin.
"Show us. Demonstrate it can be done. That it is safe."
She had spoken of eternal youth that day, had spat in my face about it. Two-faced bitch. The king nodded. "Why did you think I asked my dear friend Ianthe to see who Feyre Archeron would appreciate having with her for eternity?" Even as horror filled my ears with roaring silence, I glanced at the queen's, the question no doubt written on my face. The king explained,
"Oh, I asked them first. They deemed it too uncouth to betray two young, misguided women. Ianthe had no such qualms.
Consider it my wedding present for you both," he added to Tamlin. But Tamlin's face tightened.
"What?"
The king cocked his head, savoring every word. "I think the High Priestess was waiting until your return to tell you, but don't you ever ask why she believed I might be able to break the bargain? Why she had so many musings on the idea?
So many millennia have the High Priestesses been forced to their knees for the High Lords, and during those years she dwelled in that foreign court. Such an open mind she has. Once we met, once I painted for her a portrait of a Prithian free of High Lords, where the High Priestesses might rule with grace and wisdom, she didn't take much convincing."
I was going to vomit. Tamlin, to his credit, looked like he might too. Lucian's face had slackened.
"She sold out. She sold out Feyre's family. To you."
I had told Ianthe everything about my sisters. She had asked. Asked who they were, where they lived. And I had been so stupid, so broken. I had fed her every detail.
"Sold out?" the king snorted. "Or saved from the shackles of mortal death?" Ianthe suggested they were both strong-willed women, like their sister. No doubt they'll survive. And prove to our queens it can be done, if one has the strength.
My heart stopped.
"Don't you—"
the king cut me off. "I would suggest bracing yourselves." And then hell exploded in the hall. Power, white and unending and hideous, barreled into us. All I knew was Rhysand's body covering mine as we were all thrown to the floor, the shout of pain as he took the brunt of the king's power. Cassian twisted, wings flaring wide as he shielded Azrael. His wings. His wings. Cassian's scream, as his wings shredded under talons of pure magic, was the most horrific sound I'd ever heard. More surged for him, but too late. Rhys was moving in an instant, as if he'd lunge for the king, but power hit us again and again. Rhys slammed to his knees. My sisters were shrieking over their gags, but Elaine's cry, a warning. A warning to my right, now exposed, Tamlin ran for me, to grab me at last. I hurled a knife at him, as hard as I could. He had to dive to miss it, and he backed away at the second one I had ready, gaping at me, at Rhys, as if he could indeed see the mating bond between us.
But I whirled as soldiers pressed in, cutting us off, whirled and saw Cassian and Azrael on the ground, Jorian laughing softly at the blood gushing from Cassian's ravaged wings. Shreds of them remained. I scrambled for him. My blood, it might be enough, be... Moore, on her knees beside Cassian, hurtled for the king with a cry of pure wrath. He sent a punch of power to her. She dodged, a knife angled in her hand, and... Azrael cried out in pain. She froze, stopped a foot from the throne, her knife clattered to the floor. The king rose. "What a mighty queen you are," he breathed. And Moore backed away, step by step. "What a prize," the king said, that black gaze devouring her. Azrael's head lifted from where he was sprawled in his own blood, eyes full of rage and pain as he snarled at the king. "Don't you touch her." Moore looked at Azrael, and there was real fear there, fear and something else. She didn't stop moving until she again kneeled beside him and pressed a hand to his wound. Azrael hissed, but covered her bloody fingers with his own. Rhys positioned himself between me and the king as I dropped to my knees before Cassian. I ripped at the leather covering my forearm. "Put the prettier one in first," the king said, more already forgotten. I twisted, only to have the king's guards grab me from behind. Rhys was instantly there, but Azrael shouted, back arching as the king's poison worked its way in. "Please refrain," the king said, "from getting any stupid ideas, Rhysand." He smiled at me. "If any of you interfere, the Shadow Singer dies. Pity about the other brute's wings." He gave my sisters a mockery of a bow. "Ladies, eternity awaits. Prove to their majesties the cauldron is safe for strong-willed individuals." I shook my head, unable to breathe, to think of a way out of it. Elaine was shaking, sobbing as she was hauled forward toward the cauldron. Nesta began thrashing against the men that held her. Tamlin said, "Stop!" The king did no such thing. Lucian, beside Tamlin, again put a hand on his sword. "Stop this!" Nesta was bellowing at the guards, at the king, as Elaine yielded step after step toward that cauldron. As the king waved his hand and liquid filled it to the brim,
"No, no!"
The queens only watched, stone-faced. And Rhys and Moore, separated from me by those guards, did not dare to even shift a muscle. Tamlin spat at the king. "This is not part of our deal. Stop this now." "I don't care," the king said simply. Tamlin launched himself at the throne, as if he'd rip him to shreds. That white-hot magic slammed into him, shoving him to the ground, leashing him. Tamlin strained against the collar of light on his neck, around his wrists. His golden power flared, to no avail. I tore at the fist still gripping my own, sliced at it over and over. Lucian staggered a step forward as Elaine was gripped between two guards and hoisted up. She began kicking then, weeping while her feet slammed into the sides of the cauldron as if she'd push off it, as if she'd knock it down. "That is enough!" Lucian surged for Elaine, for the cauldron. And the king's power leashed him too. On the ground beside Tamlin, his single eye wide, Lucian had the good sense to look horrified as he glanced between Elaine and the High Lord. "Please," I begged the king, who motioned Elaine to be shoved into the water.
"Please, I will do anything. I will give you anything."
I shot to my feet, stepping away from where Cassian lay prostrate, and looked to the queens.
"Please! You do not need proof. I am proof that it works. Jorian is proof it is safe."
The ancient queen said, "You are a thief and a liar.
You conspired with our sister. Your punishment should be the same as hers. Consider this a gift instead.
Elaine's foot hit the water and she screamed. Screamed in terror that hit me so deep I began sobbing.
Please,
I said to none of them.
Nesta was still fighting, still roaring through her gag. Elaine, who Nesta would have killed and whored and stolen for. Elaine, who had been gentle and sweet. Elaine, who was to marry a lord's son who hated fairies. The guard shoved my sister into the cauldron in a single movement. My cry hadn't finished sounding before Elaine's head went under. She did not come up. Nesta's screaming was the only sound. Cassian blindly lurched toward it, toward her, moaning in pain. The King of Highburn bowed slightly to the queens. Behold.
Rhys, a wall of guards still cleaving us, curled his fingers into a fist. But he did not move, as Mor and I did not move, not with Azrael's life dangling in the king's grasp. And as if it had been tipped by invisible hands, the cauldron turned on its side. More water than seemed possible dumped out in a cascade. Black, smoke-coated water. And Elaine, as if she'd been thrown by a wave, washed onto the stones face down. Her legs were so pale, so delicate. I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen them bare. The queens pushed forward. Alive. She had to be alive. Had to have wanted to live. Elaine sucked in a breath, her fine-boned back rising, her wet nightgown nearly sheer. And as she rose from the ground onto her elbows, the gag in place, as she twisted to look at me, Nesta began roaring again. Pale skin started to glow. Her face had somehow become more beautiful, infinitely beautiful. And her ears? Elaine's ears were now pointed beneath her sodden hair. The queens gasped. And for a moment, all I could think of was my father. What he would do, what he would say, when his most beloved daughter looked at him with a fey face. So we can survive, the dark-haired youngest breathed, eyes bright. I fell to my knees, the guards not bothering to grab me as I sobbed. What he'd done! What he'd done!
The Hellcat now, if you'll be so kind, the King of Highburn said.
I whipped my head to Nesta as she went silent. The cauldron righted itself.
Cassian again stirred, slumping on the floor, but his hand twitched toward Nesta.
Elaine was still shivering on the wet stones, her nightgown shoved up to her thighs, her small breasts fully visible beneath the soaked fabric.
Guards snickered. Lucian snarled at the king over the bite of magic at his throat.
Don't just leave her on the damn floor!
There was a flare of light and a scrape, and then Lucian was stalking toward Elaine, free of his restraints.
Tamlin remained leashed on the ground, a gag of white, iridescent magic in his mouth now. But his eyes were on Lucian as Lucian took off his jacket, kneeling before Elaine. She cringed away from the coat, from him. The guards hauled Nesta toward the cauldron.
There were different kinds of torture, I realized. There was the torture that I had endured, that Rhys had endured. And then there was this.
The torture that Rhys had worked so hard those 50 years to avoid. The nightmares that haunted him. To be unable to move, to fight, while our loved ones were broken. My eyes met with those of my mate. Agony rippled in that violent stare. Rage and guilt and utter agony. The mirror to my own.
Nesta fought every step of the way. She did not make it easy for them. She clawed and kicked and bucked. And it was not enough. And we were not enough to save her. I watched as she was hoisted up. Elaine remained shuddering on the ground, Lucian's coat draped around her. She did not look at the cauldron behind her, not as Nesta's thrashing feet slammed into the water. Cassian stirred again, his shredded wings twitching and spraying blood, his muscles quivering. At Nesta's shouts, her raging, his eyes fluttering open, glazing and unseen, an answer to some call in his blood, a promise he'd made to her. But pain knocked him under again. Nesta was shoved into the water up to her shoulders. She bucked even as the water sprayed. She clawed and screamed her rage, her defiance. "Put her under," the king hissed. The guards, straining, shoved her slender shoulders, her brown gold head. And as they pushed her head down, she thrashed one last time, freeing her long, pale arm. Teeth bared, Nesta pointed one finger at the King of Highburn. One finger. A curse and a damning. A promise. And as Nesta's head was forced under the water, as that hand was violently shoved down, the King of Highburn had the good sense to look somewhat unnerved. Dark water lapped for a moment. The surface went flat. I vomited on the floor. The guards at last let Rhysand kneel beside me in the growing pool of Cassian's blood, let him tuck me into him as the cauldron again tilted. Water poured forth, Lucian hoisting Elaine in his arms and out of the way. The bonds on Tamlin vanished, along with the gag. He was instantly on his feet, snarling at the king. Even the fist on my mind lightened to a mere caress, as if he knew he'd won. I didn't care, not as Nesta was sprawled upon the stones. I knew that she was different. From however Elaine had been made, Nesta was different. Even before she took her first breath, I felt it. As if the cauldron in making her had been forced to give more than it wanted. As if Nesta had fought even after she went under, and had decided that if she was to be dragged into hell, she was taking that cauldron with her. As if that finger she'd pointed was now a death promise to the King of Highburn. Nesta took a breath. And when I beheld my sister, with her somehow magnified beauty, her ears, when Nesta looked to me, rage, power, cunning. Then it was gone, horror and shock crumpling her face, but she didn't pause, didn't halt. She was free, she was loose. She was on her feet, tripping over her slightly longer, leaner limbs, ripping the gag from her mouth. Nesta slammed into Lucian, grabbing Elaine from his arms, and screamed at him as he fell back. "Get off her!" Elaine's feet slipped against the floor, but Nesta gripped her upright, running her hand over Elaine's face, her shoulders, her hair.
"Elaine! Elaine! Elaine!"
she sobbed. Cassian again stirred, trying to rise, to answer Nesta's voice as she held my sister and cried her name again and again. But Elaine was staring over Nesta's shoulder, at Lucian, whose face she had finally taken in. Dark brown eyes met one eye of russet and one of metal. Nesta was still weeping, still raging, still inspecting Elaine. Lucian's hands slackened at his sides. His voice broke as he whispered to Elaine, "You're my mate." Chapter 66. I didn't let Lucian's declaration sink in. Nesta, however, whirled on him. "She is no such thing," she said, and shoved him again. Lucian didn't move an inch. His face was pale as death as he stared at Elaine. My sister said nothing, the iron ring glinting dully on her finger.
The King of Highburn murmured,
"Interesting, so very interesting." He turned to the queens. "See? I showed you not once but twice that it is safe. Who should like to be made first? Perhaps you'll get a handsome Fey Lord as your mate, too." The youngest queen stepped forward, her eyes indeed darting between all the Fey men assembled, as if they were hers for the picking. The king chuckled.
"Very well, then."
Hate flooded me, so violent I had no control over it. No song in my heart but its war cry. I was going to kill them. I was going to kill all of them.
"If you're so willing to hand out bargains," Rhys suddenly said, rising to his feet and tugging me with him, "perhaps I'll make one with you."
"Oh?"
Rhys shrugged. "No. No more bargains, no more sacrifices, no more giving himself away piece by piece. No more. And if the king refused, if there was nothing to do but watch my friends die, I could not accept it. I could not endure it. Not that.
And for Rhys, for the family I'd found, they had not needed me, not really, only to nullify the cauldron. I had failed them, just as I had failed my sisters whose lives I'd now shattered. I thought of that ring waiting for me at home.
I thought of the ring on Elaine's finger, from a man who would now likely hunt her down and kill her, if Lucian let her leave at all. I thought of all the things I wanted to paint, and never would. But for them, for my family, both of blood and my own choosing, for my mate, the idea that hit me did not seem so frightening. And so I was not afraid. I dropped to my knees in a spasm, gripping my head as I gnashed my teeth and sobbed, sobbed and panted, pulling at my hair. The fist of that spell didn't have time to seize me again as I exploded past it. Rhys reached for me, but I unleashed my power, a flash of that white, pure light, all that could escape with the damper from the king's spell. A flash of light that was only for Rhys, only because of Rhys. I hoped he understood. It erupted through the room, the gathered forces hissing and dropping back. Even Rhys had frozen. The king and queens open-mouthed. My sisters and Lucian had whirled, too. But there, deep within day's light, I gleaned it. A purifying, clear power. Cursebreaker. Spellbreaker. The light wiped through every physical trapping, showing me the snarls of spells and glamours, showing me the way through. I burned brighter, looking, looking. Buried inside the bone walls of the castle, the wards were woven strong. I sent that blinding light flaring once more, a distraction and sleight of hand as I severed the wards at their ancient arteries. Now, I only had to play my part. The light faded, and I was curled on the floor, head in my hands. Silence. Silence as they all gawked at me. Even Jurian had stopped gloating from where he now leaned against the wall. But my eyes were only on Tamlin as I lowered my hands, gulping down air, and blinked. I looked at the host and the blood and the night court, and then, finally back at him as I breathed. "Tamlin?" He didn't move an inch. Beyond him, the king gaped at me. Whether he knew I'd ripped his wards wide open, whether he knew it was intentional, was not my concern, not yet. I blinked again, as if clearing my head. "Tamlin?" I peered at my hands, the blood, and when I beheld Rhys, when I saw my grim-faced friends and my drenched, immortal sisters. There was nothing but shock and confusion on Rhys's face as I scrambled back from him. Away from them, toward Tamlin.
"Tamlin,
I managed to say again. Lucian's eye widened as he stepped between me and Elaine. I whirled on the King of Highburn.
Where?
I again faced Rhysand.
What did you do to me?
I breathed, low and guttural, backing toward Tamlin.
What did you do?
Get them out. Get my sisters out. Play, please play along, please.
There was no sound, no shield, no glimmer of feeling in our bond. The king's power had blocked it out too thoroughly. There was nothing I could do against it, Cursebreaker or no. But Rhys slid his hands into his pockets as he purred.
How did you get free?
What?
Jurian seethed, pushing off the wall and storming toward us. But I turned toward Tamlin and ignored the features and smell and clothes that were all wrong. He watched me warily.
Don't let him take me again. Don't let him... Don't...
I couldn't keep the sobs from shuddering out, not as the full force of what I was doing hit me.
Feyre,
Tamlin said softly. And I knew I had won. I sobbed harder.
Get my sisters out,
I begged Rhys through the silent bond.
I ripped the wards open for you. All of you, get them out. Don't let him take me,
I sobbed again.
I don't want to go back.
And when I looked at Mor, at the tears streaming down her face as she helped Cassian get upright, I knew she realized what I meant. But the tears vanished, became sorrow for Cassian as she turned a hateful, horrified face to Rhysand and spat.
What did you do to that girl?
Rhys cocked his head.
How did you do it, Feyre?
There was so much blood on him. One last game. This was one last game we were to play together. I shook my head. The queens had fallen back, their guards forming a wall between us. Tamlin watched me carefully. So did Lucian. So I turned to the king. He was smiling, like he knew. But I said,
"Break the bond."
Rhysand went still as death. I stormed to the king, knees barking as I dropped to the floor before his throne.
"Break the bond." The bargain, the mating bond, he made me do it, made me swear it.
No, Rhysand said. I ignored him, even as my heart broke, even as I knew that he hadn't meant to say it.
Do it,
I begged the king, even as I silently prayed he wouldn't notice his ruined wards, the door I'd left wide open.
I know you can, just free me from it.
No, Rhysand said. But Tamlin was staring between us, and I looked at him, the High Lord I had once loved, and I breathed,
"No more. No more death. No more killing."
I sobbed through my clenched teeth, made myself look at my sisters.
"No more. Take me home and let them go. Tell them it's part of the bargain and let them go, but no more. Please."
Cassian slowed, every movement pained. Stirred enough to look over a shredded wing at me. And in his pain-glazed eyes I saw it, the understanding. The Court of Dreams. I had belonged to a Court of Dreams, and dreamers. And for their dreams, for what they had worked for, sacrificed for, I could do it.
"Get my sisters out,"
I said to Rhys one last time, sending it into that stone wall between us. I looked to Tamlin.
"No more."
Those green eyes met mine, and the sorrow and tenderness in them was the most hideous thing I'd ever seen.
"Take me home."
Tamlin said flatly to the king,
"Let them go. Break her bond, and let's be done with it. Her sisters come with us. You've already crossed too many lines."
Jurian began objecting, but the king said,
"Very well."
"No," was all Rhys said again.
Tamlin snarled at him. I don't give a shit if she's your mate. I don't give a shit if you think you're entitled to her. She is mine. And one day, I am going to repay every bit of pain she felt, every bit of suffering and despair. One day, perhaps when she decides she wants to end you, I'll be happy to oblige her.
Walk away. Just go. Take my sisters with you.
Rhys was only staring at me. Don't. But I backed away, until I hit Tamlin's chest, until his hands, warm and heavy, landed on my shoulders. Do it, he said to the king. No, Rhys said again, his voice breaking. But the king pointed at me, and I screamed. Tamlin gripped my arms as I screamed and screamed at the pain that tore through my chest, my left arm. Rhysand was on the ground, roaring, and I thought he might have said my name, might have bellowed it as I thrashed and sobbed. I was being shredded. I was dying. I was dying. No. No, I didn't want it. I didn't want to. A crack sounded in my ears, and the world cleaved in two as the bond snapped. Chapter 67. I fainted. When I opened my eyes, mere seconds had passed. Moore was now hauling away Rhys, who was panting on the floor, eyes wild, fingers clenching and unclenching. Tamlin yanked off the glove on my left hand. Pure bare skin greeted him. No tattoo. I was sobbing and sobbing, and his arms came around me. Every inch of them felt wrong. I nearly gagged on his scent. Moore let go of Rhysand's jacket collar, and he crawled back toward Azrael and Cassian, their blood splashing on his hands, on his neck, as he hauled himself through it. His rasping breaths sliced into me, my soul. The king merely waved a hand at him. You are free to go, Rhysand. Your friend's poison is gone. The wings on the other, I'm afraid, are a bit of a mess.
Don't fight it. Don't say anything, I begged him as Rhys reached his brothers. Take my sisters, the wards are down.
Silence. So I looked, just once at Rhysand, and Cassian, and Moore, and Azrael. They were already looking at me, faces bloody and cold and enraged. But beneath them, I knew it was love beneath them. They understood the tears that rolled down my face as I silently said goodbye. Then Moore, swift as an adder, winnowed to Lucian, to my sisters. To show Rhys, I realized what I'd done, the hole I'd blasted for them to escape. She slammed Lucian away with a palm to the chest, and his roar shook the halls as Moore grabbed my sisters by the arm and vanished. Lucian's bellow was still sounding as Rhys lunged, gripping Azrael and Cassian, and did not even turn toward me as they winnowed out. The king shot to his feet, spewing his wrath at his guards, at Jurian, for not grabbing my sisters, demanding to know what had happened to the castle wards. I barely heard him. There was only silence in my head. Such silence where there had once been dark laughter and wicked amusement. A wind-blasted wasteland. Lucian was shaking his head, panting, and whirled to us. Get her back, he snarled at Tamlin over the ranting of the king. A mate. A mate already going wild to defend what was his. Tamlin ignored him. So I did, too. I could barely stand, but I faced the king as he slumped into his throne, gripping the arms so tightly the whites of his knuckles showed.
Thank you, I breathed, a hand on my chest, the skin so pale, so white. Thank you.
He merely said to the gathered queens, now a healthy distance away, Begin. The queens looked at each other, then their wide-eyed guards, and snaked toward the cauldron, their smiles growing. Wolves circling prey.
One of them sniped at another for pushing her. The king murmured something to them all that I didn't bother to hear. Jurian stalked over to Lucian amid the rising squabble,